And we will move on to the next case of the day, which is Patel against Gonzalez.
Morning, Your Honors. Raymond Sanders on behalf of Mr. Patel. An initial small remark concerning the action of the BIA, Board of Immigration Appeals. This is the type of case that I would call the perfect decision. The BIA said, oh, the judge made a perfect decision. We agree. And in essence, blew us off. They did not critique it nor indicate that there was a specific part of it that they felt justified the opinion. And in the past, this circuit has reversed some of the opinions that have gone down that road.
Well, of course, what we look at is the IJ's analysis. There are many courts of appeals in this country that have the equivalent affirmed see local rule X. So I'm not sure that the board's decision to affirm without opinion in and of itself is something that we anymore would pay attention to.
Not per se, but yeah, as one aspect of the case. This is a case about a poor gentleman from India who was a family man who helped his father. He helped his uncle. He did some social work. He worked with children. He worked with old people. And he told his story, what I think were in a reasonable, substantial, and clear manner. I felt that the immigration judge quickly grasped that minor details that he felt were lacking and said, oh, these require documents and proof of being in some sort of political party in order to justify persecution and granting asylum.
Well, you do have to be clear, I guess, clear about which ground that's protected under the statute you're relying on. And it seems that what Mr. Patel is looking at is largely his uncle's work and what he did, and then these political currents between the BJP and the Congress Party in India.
Right. I'd like to address that.
Yeah.
The work that was being done down in the grassroots with the poor people and the children by the uncle and helped with Mr. Patel discovered that the money wasn't getting down to them and that the BJP party was dissipating it or doing something else.
Now, when you say the money, actually the briefs were a little funny about this. You're talking about the aid funds that came to Gujarat after the earthquake?
Those
there was
and
like a gigantic
other
earthquake in Gujarat in
yes.
January of 2001, second largest in Indian history as of that time.
Right.
And so it's this money you're talking about?
That money and continuing funds. This testimony seems to indicate that there was an ongoing problem of the BJP party not getting much money down to where it was really needed. And because of that, the uncle said, we're going to leave this party. They're not doing the job. We're going to work for the opposition party. So they switched, and they went. And because they had intense networks and contacts with the people down at the grassroots, when they told these people, hey, you know why you're not getting the money? It's the BJP party. Vote them out. So these people were involved in what they considered to what would be considered to be sort of whistleblowing or opposition to a fundamental, powerful party in the country.
What evidence is there that either Mr. Patel himself or his uncle, Mr. Ralal, had that kind of leadership position that their word would sway an entire election?
I don't know how much switchover was necessary to change the election. There's no indications that it was a close election and a small number or that there were other people that recognized this and there were other actions taken by Congress Party to implement a program against the BJP and show up in their advertising that BJP was giving them a bad time. But it was clear from the testimony that BJP was unhappy with their action in this area, because this is a rural area and most of the people in India live in the rural areas. And the status that they had, because if someone comes and helps me, hey, I believe them, I think they're honest, and if they say this is the situation, I believe it.
Well, I mean, cutting to the chase, though, the immigration judge acknowledged what the uncle had done and what Mr. Patel had done, but finds that the net result of everything did not amount to past persecution, and similarly that there was no adequate showing, which is a little bit more difficult, that there was a well-founded fear of future persecution. And it's hard to see on this record that the evidence was so compelling that there had been past persecution, for example, that we would have to say the immigration judge erred.
What's the testimony clearly and repeatedly shows that Mr. Patel was in fear of his life. Things happened. The farm got burned down. His uncle was in a mysterious accident. People came and threatened him. People had gone to the farm to kidnap the uncle at one point in time. These were by people who he recognized as being connected with the BJP party, although he didn't know their name and couldn't tell the police officers' address and social security numbers or things of this sort. And he went and tried to. And he perceived this to be a conspiracy against him by this major party, and that his father was convinced of the same thing and told him to leave the country. And
what's the evidence that this motorcycle accident had anything to do with persecution?
I don't have an investigation report or whether objectively that is true. You can question it objectively. But looking at Mr. Patel, subjectively this was another action that seemed to fit in the pattern that he perceived against him. And his whole mental state was that he mentally was in fear of his life, whether objectively he was or not.
Well, but the immigration judge, I think, makes some credibility findings, too. I mean, of course, Mr. Patel testifies that he received two or three death threats, but he apparently was unable to remember details of the encounters or even the months in which they occurred. It seems like a death threat would really stick with you, that you could somehow give some account, you know, where were you, how many people, you know, what were they doing to you. I'm not saying corroborating evidence in the sense of a bunch of news reporters who were there writing down an account, but just details that would help somebody have confidence that this really happened.
These happened over a number of years, and they happened in the past and during circumstances that would have been very frightening to him. And the judge had an opportunity to ask him specific questions about how many or what have you. Nothing was asked along that line. The judge didn't seem to be that concerned about more details. He quickly said, you didn't have corroborating evidence, therefore you're not credible. And I think that was one of the major errors on the part of the immigration judge.
If you want to save some time for rebuttal, it's
yes,
up to you, but this is your rebuttal time. Ms. Blaya?
May it please the Court, Your Honor, Robin Blaya for the Attorney General. This case came down to corroboration and the alien's lack of burden of proof. It was his burden to prove that he had met his burden for asylum. Based on this record, he did not do that. He did not provide detailed, specific facts about any of these alleged problems that he had in India. He doesn't, as you indicated previously, doesn't indicate, though he's supposedly been threatened two or three times, he can't tell any specific facts about what happened about that at all. He at one point says, and I believe this is on page 70 of the record, there are always two parties in a village, and we can also, they are recognized by the treatment of the opposite party. That is a danger to our life. That's his only explanation for why he was threatened. There's nothing that does not tell who threatened him, how many people were present. I mean, as you indicated, if you were threatened with harm or for your life, you probably would remember a few facts about that. In addition,
if one were to ask you whether the IJ here thought that he wasn't credible because he didn't have a lot of corroboration, or whether the IJ thought that he was just vague and therefore not credible and could only overcome that if some other evidence came in, which would you say, the first or the second?
Well, Your Honor, I believe he thought that he just didn't have enough information to support his claims.
He finds him not credible because he's too vague, but then had he perhaps found some other kind of particular evidence that might have overcome that problem?
I think it's a mixture of both, that he didn't specifically testify and that he didn't have documents. If he would have specifically testified, that may have been enough. But because he didn't, he needed to provide something more. He has family in India that could have provided information, could have gotten any of the police reports that were allegedly filed after each of his threats, when the family farm was burned, or when his uncle had this motor scooter accident. He only speculates that the BJP caused the accident with his uncle. With regards to the fire, the neighbor at the father's farm indicated that he had seen the people, but he couldn't say who they were. Petitioner solely speculates that it's the BJP because he had been threatened previously, but there's nothing in the record to indicate as much, nothing from the neighbor or anything to indicate that these people were from the BJP.
Could I ask you whether the record says anything in any detail about his sojourn in Bombay after he leaves his hometown before he comes to the United States?
No, Your Honor. It just says that he was in Bombay sometime between the 5 months between his uncle's death and when he left for the U.S.
I mean, the reason I'm interested is because the IJ also draws the conclusion that he could live safely some other place in India, perhaps Bombay, for all I know. But in some cases, we've seen people managing to live in another place in the country only by going underground and making sure nobody ever sees them. And then in other cases, maybe they can just move. And I wondered if we had any way of telling which situation this one was.
Well, I think, Your Honor, that the immigration judge also based it on the fact that he was a Hindu, which is the majority in the population in India, and that he could possibly live somewhere else. There was no indication in the record that he had any trouble when he lived in Bombay or whatever other city he resided in during those 5 months with the BJP or any other party or any other organization to lead the immigration judge to believe that he would be harmed if he returned. The immigration also determined that, that he, even if the corroboration was not a problem, that he had not shown that he would suffer, that he had suffered past persecution. The immigration judge pointed out that no one in his family had been harmed except for allegedly his uncle. They had never been detained, arrested, abused in any way.
What about the death? I mean, you know, that if you believed that there were death threats, though, isn't that enough? I mean, people don't have to wait until those threats are carried out to prove past persecution.
Well, Your Honor, but there's nothing in this record to support those claims. He could have had family members provide corroboration that, yes, he had been received death threats and that they felt so they were so in fear for his life that he had to leave his country.
What about the testimony of his mother warning him that it wasn't safe for him to return?
Again, he could have provided corroboration of that. She could have provided a declaration or an affidavit or something of that. That's really kind of a self-serving statement on his part.
That only comes from him, both that the father told him he needs to leave and the mother said
yes,
it's not safe to come back.
There's no corroborative evidence in the record to indicate as such other than his statement.
Okay.
Based on the record, we would ask that the court affirm the immigration judge's decision unless there are any further questions.
No, thank you very much. Mr. Sanders, you have a little bit of time.
I believe the record shows that Mr. Patel went to Bombay and was hiding until he could make arrangements to leave the country. and that because the BJP party was national, his fear inside of him subjectively was that they could find him anywhere and that they would ruthlessly eradicate anybody that had blown the whistle on them. He had no place to hide in India as he saw it. And I feel his presentation was sufficient to show that he didn't need documentary evidence to convince the court, and that therefore his decision should be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll take the case under advisement. Thanks to both counsel.